burnout is miserable. You feel exhausted, but you still need to keep showing up to the job day after day. Whatever fire you had for your work has now fizzled out, making you wonder whether you should quit and start over. Why does burnout happen and how can we avoid it? Christina Maslach is one of the world's leading experts on burnout. Beginning in the 1980s, Maslach and her colleagues developed one of the first psychological assessments for burnout. In the subsequent four decades, she has built a career investigating the causes of burnout. Burnout is more than just being tired. Maslach's research finds that burnout is more than just being tired or overworked. Instead, burnout is a combination of three different factors. One, exhaustion. The first and most prominent symptom of burnout is extreme fatigue. This is what most people associate with burnout, and it often sets the stage for the other two symptoms. Number two, cynicism. Early studies of burnout dealt with healthcare workers, where this factor was termed depersonalization. Burned out doctors and nurses stopped treating patients like people as a way of coping with job stress. As burnout became applied to other jobs, it was observed that a similar feeling of emotional distancing and cynicism was associated with burnout. Number three, ineffectiveness. In addition to being tired and cynical, burned out workers feel like they can't do much about it. Feeling helpless, you might feel like there's not much you can do but try to endure. Exhaustion alone is bad, but adding the other two factors can make out burnout a particularly pernicious force. Burned out healthcare workers have been associated with higher mortality rates, and burned out police officers report more violent force used against civilians. What causes burnout? Maslach argues that we've adopted an unhealthy perspective regarding burnout in the workplace. Burnout is seen as an individual issue in which some people simply aren't able to cope with the stresses and demands of the job. Maslach illustrates what's wrong with this approach through an analogy of sending a canary into a coal mine. As toxic gases build up deep underground, miners used to bring down canaries who were particularly sensitive to their effects. If the canary started to wobble on its perch, workers could leave before it was too late. Treating burnout as a purely individual problem, Maslach argues, is like trying to deal with the problem of dying canaries by finding more robust birds who will last longer down in the tunnels. Instead of trying to toughen up the canaries, we ought to be trying to fix the toxic elements that make up our work environment. Similarly, Maslach argues against the medicalization of burnout. Some researchers have chosen to treat burnout as a kind of mental illness, like depression or post-traumatic stress disorder. While this may be done with good intentions to get burned out workers access to mental health resources, it also perpetuates the idea that the problem is inside the workers, rather than the interaction between the workers and their environment. Instead of the individual model, Maslach argues that burnout can be understood as a mismatch between six different elements of the work environment. Number one, workload. The most obvious condition for burnout is working too much. When workplace demands exceed our resources for coping with them, exhaustion sets in. If left unattended, this can lead to cynicism and ineffectiveness as we are unable to cope with the demands. It's not the occasional bursts of intense work that causes problems, but sustained overwork without any respite. Organizations that always operate in crisis mode, or downsize roles where one person must do the job that ought to be done by multiple people, can create chronic conditions of overwork that lead to burnout. Two, control. It's not just how much work you have, but your ability to take control of it also that matters for burnout. Maslach found in her research that people with high workloads, but also high degrees of autonomy for managing that work, were much less likely to be burned out. Instead, it's the person who not only has a lot of work to do, but has little say in how the work is done that is more susceptible to burnout. Being given little flexibility in performing work, especially when the constraints do not seem well justified, can make an otherwise bearable workload feel unmanageable. Number three, reward. Too much work for too little pay can exacerbate feelings of burnout, but Maslach argues that rewards go far beyond just getting enough money, although that's important too. Instead, it's the intrinsic rewards of recognition for a job well done that can matter more than how much is written on your paycheck. Showing up to work every day, doing your best, but feeling like nobody appreciates it is a recipe for burnout. Number four, community. Workplaces aren't just about efficiency. Our relationships with our colleagues and bosses can make a huge difference, both positive and negative, about our feelings for the job. Good friends can make a boring job feel bearable. In contrast, bullying and hostility can make otherwise rewarding work miserable. Burned out people, in turn, are not much fun to be around. They're more likely to lash out, be mean, unhelpful, or be emotionally unavailable. This implies, Maslach contends, that burnout can be contagious. Another reason for treating burnout as an issue beyond the individual is that even if not all employees are showing signs of extreme burnout, those who are still managing may be contributing to the toxic community that makes it worse for the other people involved. Number five, fairness. When people don't feel like the rules and rewards of work are fair, this can exacerbate cynicism and accelerate burnout. Interestingly, Maslach has found that workers care more that the processes are fair than that the outcomes are perfectly equitable. In one case, a company she worked with tried to fix issues of perceived unfairness by giving people more money. Except this didn't work, because the workers were mostly upset that their rewards were given arbitrarily. You can probably feel this yourself in workplaces where getting ahead feels like it's all politics, or where favoritism and nepotism seem to rule over clear and fair procedures. Number 6, values. A final mismatch can occur when the values of the person working in the job do not correspond to the values expressed in doing the work. A nurse might have gone into healthcare to treat sick patients, but the management mostly cares about increasing revenue and patient turnover. A researcher might have gone into academia with the dream of advancing science, but felt disgusted by the pressure to churn out papers in order to get tenure. How to avoid burnout? If burnout is caused by the relationship between work and the worker, rather than a purely individual problem, avoiding burnout needs to look at both sides of the equation. Unfortunately, Maslach notes, this can be difficult as many organizations insist on treating burnout cases as problems with those individuals rather than as warning signs that the workplace itself may be becoming toxic. That being said, there are a few ways we can manage burnout better. Number 1, take time off. Vacations and sabbaticals are among the most commonly suggested ways of dealing with burnout. If the issue is simply a workload that is difficult to recover from, temporarily slowing down may be necessary to recover your energy. However, while time off may help with exhaustion, it may not be enough to deal with the feelings of cynicism or effectiveness about the work. Number 2, learn new skills. A lack of proper workplace training can exacerbate burnout when you are required to keep up with workplace demands that you feel you lack the skills to execute on. By learning both skills for doing the work, skills for managing your time and commitments, and also social and emotional skills for dealing with stressful situations and people, you can cope better with more demanding environments. Number 3, realize you're not alone. Workplaces stigmatize burnout, and so workers who are struggling often are reluctant to express their feelings. But this can create a situation where those who are burned out are unaware of how many other people in their workplace are also feeling similarly. Finally, if you don't feel like you can manage the exhaustion, it may be a good time to quit. If the problem is not just you, but the environment, then coping strategies may only go so far. Just like the canary in the coal mine, burnout can be an important signal to get out, not just to toughen up in a toxic environment. Thanks for listening to this episode. If you'd like to get 5 of my audiobooks for free, just go to scotthyoung.com/podcast.